I count it a blessing to stand up here with my brother. And he's more than a brother. You know, in the scriptures, there's a term of great endearment. And it's used both in the Old and the New Testament. It says that Abraham was a friend of God. And Christ used that term for his servants. He henceforth no longer called them servants, but friends. And that's that friendship comes over a period of time, a period of time of service and love. And so I count it a privilege to stand up here with my friend, Larry. He's a friend to me. He's a friend to each one of us here. And there are a few, as I look out in this congregation, that I would consider a rock in this East Local. And Larry is one of those rocks. He's solid, he's willing, and he is always there and always ready to serve in whatever capacity. And all of us know that and appreciate that dearly, as we appreciate our brother. And I know that he would appreciate your smiles and your prayers and your kind attention, because I know that what's on his mind and his heart, we are in need of this day, because he has sought the Lord, not for himself, but for us, that he might deliver what is needful for this congregation. So I would ask for that for our brother Larry.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve, for that kind introduction. I noticed that when I come up here, Steve moved the podium to the center. I think he wants me to stay on center today, and I'll try to do so. It's nice to be with you this morning, my brothers and my sisters. I am happy to be here. However, I have a dilemma this morning. I pray that God may put His will forth this morning and not mine. I have a little quote that I want you to listen to. And this quote, I don't know who made the quote, but it says, when you choose the beginning of the road, you automatically choose the destination. And if I was going to title this sermon this morning, it would be Sin Makes You Stupid. Now, sin does make us stupid, for when we willfully sin, we make careless mistakes, and sin costs a lot, too. Have you ever thought about how much sin costs you in your life? It causes us to live beneath ourselves and our abilities. And this sin costs us a lack of confidence and a lack of peace. Sin makes us deaf, dumb, and blind to the ways of the Lord. Sin drives away the Spirit, and we are left on our own. You know, it's a terrible feeling to be left on your own. It's a terrible feeling to be up here behind this desk and be left on your own. That's why I ask that the Lord might let His will come forth and not mine. You know, we have a kind of an example of this in the Book of Mormon. The Liahona stopped working when Laman and Lemuel bound Nephi and treated him with much harshness. If you remember the story, there arose a great storm, and they were driven back upon the waters for a space of 3 days. and we're about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea. And they should perish, except they should repent of their iniquities. Now, Laman and Lemuel were iniquitous. And this made them stupid. They suffered 4 days of trials and almost drowned because of being stupid. Sin dulls our sense of receptivity of the Spirit, and the Spirit stops working in our lives. Let's see if we can I think it's the 4th chapter of Nephi, first book of Nephi, that I want to read about. Let's start with the 39th verse of the 4th book of 1 Nephi. And I said unto them that it was the word of God, and whosoever would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast to it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the words of the Lord. Yea, and I exhorted them that with all the energies of my soul and with all the faculties which I possessed, that they would give heed unto the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. And they said unto me, what meaneth the river of water? This is not the exact part that I wanted to get to. But they needed to prepare themselves. They needed to go to the Word of God. I think a very important verse is down in 53. It says, wherefore, if they should die in their wickedness, they must be cast off also. And the things which are spiritual, which were pertaining to righteousness, wherefore they must be brought to stand before God to be judged of their sin, or be judged of their works. And if their works have been filthiness, they must needs be filthy. And if they be filthy, it must needs be that they cannot dwell in the kingdom of God. If so, the kingdom of God must be filthy also. But I say unto you that the kingdom of God is not filthy, and there cannot be any unclean thing enter into the kingdom of God. Sin dulls our receptivity to the Spirit. It stops the Spirit from working in our lives. It dulls all positive emotions and causes us to make dumb decisions. When we choose to sin, we choose to live on our own without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Just like the Eliahona stopped working in the guidance of the ship, so does our liahona, which is the Holy Ghost, stop working in our lives when we willfully sin. Turn to 1 Nephi 5, 186. And this is what I was intending to read earlier. Wherefore I, Nephi, began to speak with them much soberness. But behold, they were angry with me, saying, "We will not that our younger brother shall be a ruler over us." So they were lifted up in pride. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel did take me and bind me with cords, and they did treat me with much harshness. Nevertheless, the Lord did suffer it, that he might show forth his power unto the fulfilling of his word, which he has spoken concerning the wicked. And it came to pass that after they had bound me, insomuch that I could not move, the compass which had been prepared for the Lord did cease to work. Therefore they knew not whether they should steer the ship, insomuch that there arose a great storm, yea, a great terrible tempest, and we were driven back upon the waters for the space of 3 days. And they began to be frightened exceedingly, lest they should be drowned in the sea. Nevertheless, they did not loose me. And on the fourth day, which had been driven back, the tempest began to be exceeding sore. And it came to pass that we were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea. And after that we had been driven back upon the waters for a space of 4 days, my brethren began to see that the judgments of God were upon them, and that they must perish, save they would repent of their iniquities. Wherefore they came unto me and loosed the bands which were upon my wrist, and behold, they had swollen exceedingly, and also my ankles, which were much swollen, and great was the soreness thereof. Nevertheless, I did look unto my God, and did praise him all the day long, and I did not murmur against the Lord because of mine afflictions. Now my father Lehi had said many things unto them, and also unto the sons of Ishmael. Behold, they did breathe out much threatenings against anyone that should speak for me. And my parents began to be stricken in years, and having suffered much grief because of their children, they were brought down, yea, even upon their sick beds. Because of the grief and much sorrow and the iniquity of my brethren, they were brought near even to be carried out of this time to meet their God. Yea, their gray hairs were about to be brought down to lie low in the dust. And they were near to be cast with sorrow into a watery grave. You can see how much sin cost Nephi and Lehi and Sarah when they see the sin of their sons and their brother. I wonder how much grief and how much it cost us when we sin. We all heard about the gifts that keep on giving. Well, sin is a gift that keeps on giving. It keeps on giving us heartache, hurt, regret. Keeps giving us shame, remorse, pain, and so on. It's just endless, the amount of suffering that we do because of sin. You know, the devil is skilled at packaging his product. I think they call this in marketing his brand. He wraps his product in lust, attraction, self-gratification, temporary joy, entitlement, desire, and so forth. Just many other things that lure the eyes and can draw away and blind us and bind us with the cords that lead to destruction. Alma stated that these cords were the chains of hell. In the ninth chapter of Alma, beginning with the 18th verse, it says that he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given a lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning the mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the devil and led by his will down to destruction. Now this is what is meant by the chains of hell. And Amulek has spoken plainly concerning death and being raised from mortality to a state of immortality, and being brought before the bar of God and judged according to our works. Then if our hearts be hardened, yea, if we have hardened our hearts against the word, insomuch that it hath been found, that it hath not been found in us, then will our state be awful, for then we shall be condemned. For our words will condemn us. Yea, our works will condemn us, and we shall not be found spotless. And our thoughts will also condemn us, and in this awful state, we shall dare not look up to our God, and we shall fain be glad if we could command the rocks and the mountains to fall upon us and hide us from his presence. That is a tremendous cost. You remember the story of Alma and the four sons of Mosiah. And they were going out to destroy the church. Here's an example of how friends follow each other in the path of destruction. Let's look to Mosiah 11. Mosiah 11:159-207. Now the sons of Mosiah were numbered among the unbelievers, and also one of the sons of Alma was numbered among them, he being called Alma after his father. Nevertheless, he became a very wicked and idolatrous man. And he was a man of many words, and did speak much flattering unto the people. Therefore he led many of the people to do after the manner of his iniquities. And he became a great hinderment to the prosperity of the church of God, stealing away the hearts of the people, causing much dissension among the people, giving a chance for the enemy of God to exercise his power over them. And now it came to pass that while he was going about to destroy the church, for he did go about secretly with the sons of Mosiah, seeking to destroy the church and to lead astray the people of the Lord, contrary to the commandments of God, or even the king. And as I said unto you, as they were going about rebelling against God, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and he descended as it were in a cloud, and he spake as it were with the voice of thunder, which caused the earth to shake upon which they stood. And so great was their astonishment that they fell to the earth, and understood not the words he spake unto them. Nevertheless, he cried again, Alma, arise and stand forth. For why persecutest thou the church of God? For the Lord said, This is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it be the transgressions of my people. And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to lead away the hearts of the people of the church to do that which was wrong, and therefore destroy the church. And again the angel said, Behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, which is thy father. For he hath prayed with much faith concerning thee, and thou that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose I have come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith. So there are people that are out there praying. I know there's many times that I've prayed for those that are in sin, that they might be brought to the knowledge of what they're doing, and that they might turn away from that sin and come back into God. For he hath prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose I have come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, and the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith. And now behold, can ye dispute the power of God? For behold, doth not my voice shake the earth? And can ye not also behold me before you? I am sent from God. Now I say unto thee, go and remember the captivity of thy fathers in the land of Helam and in the land of Nephi, and remember how great things he hath done for them, for they were in bondage, and he hath delivered them. This is one thing that Satan wants to do. He wants to put us all in bondage. He wants to take away the liberty that we enjoy. And he wants to tie us down with the chains of hell. And he would try to destroy the church, even this church of Christ. He is going about in his mission, trying to lead away the hearts of one and another until we no longer believe in Jesus Christ, where we no longer believe in God the Father, where we no longer will pick up the scriptures and read them. And now I say unto thee, Alma, go thy way, and seek to destroy the church no more, that their prayers may be answered, and this even if thou wilt thyself be cast off. And now it came to pass that these were the last words which the angel spake unto Alma, and he departed. And now Alma and those that were with him fell to the earth, for great was their astonishment. For with their own eyes they beheld an angel of the Lord, and his voice was as thunder, which shook the earth. And they knew that they were nothing save, and they knew that there was nothing save it, save the power of God that could shake the earth and cause it to tremble as though it would part asunder. And now the astonishment of Alma was so great that he became dumb. that he would not open his mouth, and he became weak, even that he could not move his limbs or his hands. Therefore, he was taken by those that were with him and carried helpless, even until he was laid before his father. That they rehearsed unto his father all that had happened unto them. And his father rejoiced, for he knew that it was the power of God. And he caused that the multitude should be gathered together, that they might witness what the Lord had done for his son, and also for those that were with him. Sometimes we have to do this. Sometimes we as parents. Have to go before God and ask that our children be brought down. Be humbled. That they would be brought to repentance. For he said, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Well, I skipped a little bit. And he caused that the priests should assemble themselves together, and they began to fast and pray to the Lord their God that he would open the mouth of Alma, that he might speak, and also his limbs might receive their strength, that the eyes of the people might be open to see and know the goodness of and glory of God. And it came to pass that after he had fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days and two nights, the limbs of Alma received their strength. And he stood up and began to speak unto them, bidding them to be of good comfort. For he said, I have repented of my sins, and I have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto him, marvel not, that all mankind, yea, men, women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and his daughters, and thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. And I say unto you, unless this be the case, they must be cast off. And this I know, because I was like to be cast off. Nevertheless, after wading through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy has seen fit to snatch me out of the everlasting burning. And I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. My soul was racked with eternal torment, but I was snatched, and my soul is pained no more. I rejected my Redeemer and denied that which had been spoken by our fathers. But now, that they may foresee that he will come and he will remember every creature of his creating. He will make himself manifest unto all. Yea, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess before him. Yea, and at the last day, when all men shall stand to be judged of him, then shall they confess that he is God. Then shall they confess who live without God in the world, that the judgments and the everlasting punishment is upon them. And they shall quake and tremble, and shake beneath the glance of his all-searching eye. I'm going to stop there with this reading. But you can see how we can all be led astray by so-called friends. The molding effect of the gospel and the Holy Ghost have been upon the people, is surely a true power if you let it be. If we just let God mold us, take us and shape us, and mold us into what He would like us to be, it is a true power. Sometimes we do not follow the Spirit or the gospel and Jesus Christ and fall into some unhealthy patterns, and our ability to reason and see things as they really are become seriously impaired. I don't know about you, but I've made some very bad decisions in my life, one time or another. And it's all because I didn't trust in the Lord. When we make these immature and childish decisions, this makes us stupid. And the Spirit of the Lord is forced away from us. The Spirit of the Lord was given to each one that has repented of their sins and has gone down into the waters of baptism and had the hands laid upon them for the reception of the Holy Ghost, to reside within them, to direct us in choosing right from wrong, and instruct each of us in the paths of righteousness. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost, through our actions, can be forced away, and we become stupid and make dumb decisions. Through our thoughts, actions, and deeds, we can cause the Holy Ghost to withdraw. Our thoughts become actions. Our actions become deeds. Remember what the Scripture says in Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart. No, it doesn't. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we hold in our hearts is manifest in action. We can go so far as to forfeit our right to be a member of Christ's church and God's kingdom. And none of us wants to do that. I have a question for you. Where are you going? And who are you going with? Do you ever remember when you were younger, or parents, when they were talking to their kids were going someplace, it's a, where are you going and who are you going with? This is what we all wanted to know as parents. And a lot of times my parents would add, and how long are you going to be there? When will you be back home? They want to know a few things. Think of this question in a larger sense. Where are you going? I want to go to heaven. And who are you going with? I'm going with my friends that are in the church. I want friends that will step in and say, Larry, I wouldn't do that. Or Larry, you shouldn't say that. Or Larry, would you like to come over and study the Scriptures with me? Or Larry, would you like to go to church with me tonight? That's the type of friends that we need to have. When I was very young and in grade school, I had some neighborhood friends that influenced me along the wrong path. And I'm sure that each one of you did. Some of my grade school friends smoked, and they wanted me to try smoking. Well, I tried it, but it tastes like dirty sweat socks, so I quickly gave it up. And over again, they continued to try to get me to do things that I knew were wrong. And my dad, I can remember my dad asking this question. I can remember he sat me down and explained to me that these were not true friends. My dad had a great way of reasoning with you. He didn't beat me. I probably deserved it from time to time, but he didn't spank me. But he would sit down and reason with me. And he would say, "You know, I thought a lot more of you than that. I didn't think you would do something like that." And so I always kind of measured what I did by his example. But my Heavenly Father came into play too. It wasn't long after that that these acquaintances that I had moved to South Missouri, and I didn't see them again. But then again in high school, I had some friends that, like all of us had, that were trying to take advantage of you. And you do some very stupid things when you sin. They wanted me to. My friends drank, and they wanted me to drink alcohol as well. But I couldn't stand the taste of that either. But they told me that, "Oh, that's all right. You come and we'll buy you all the Coke and Pepsi you can drink. Just drive us around." And that was stupid. And I soon found out that they weren't the people that I wanted to be around. And chances are that if your friends party, you will too. Chances are, is if your friends are going to shows that you shouldn't see, you are too. But also, chances are that if your friends are leading you to Christ, you'll be a true friend and lead them too. Speaking about these stupid things that we do, I can remember one night that I was with some friends, and there was a place called Condemned Highway. Frank probably knows where that is. It's down by the cement plant. And my friend said, "It's a lot of fun to go to Condemned Highway and take a big flashlight and spotlight cars." Well, it just so happened that that night they decided to go spotlighting. And you know, when you get in a car with somebody, you are going where the car's going. You are going where your friends are going. So they went to spotlight cars. And they spotlighted this car. and the biggest, ugliest human I've ever seen in my life came out of that car. And he was going to take us. So I learned very quick that when you get in a car with somebody, you better know where they're going. My dad always gave me some good advice. But again, my Heavenly Father stepped in and allowed me to not do these things that was leading to destruction. He led me to a wonderful person that I spent 46 years with. She's my best friend. And through her, I met you people who have become my best friends. And that helps me to stay on the path that leads to the kingdom of God. Some friends affect you in a negative way. Some friends affect you in a positive way. You need to find out where your friends are going. And do you want to go there? A true friend will encourage you to be the best of yourself. Surround yourselves with people that will lead you to heaven. A true friend is someone that makes it easier for you to live the gospel of Christ. And I have several true friends. We used to have a group here at the East Local. And we affectionately called ourselves the Young Marrieds. And it was made up of Carolyn Frank, June and Roland, Jenny and Bob, Darl and Ron, and others, Steve and Melissa. But these are true friends. We would get together on a weekly basis at times, go out to eat, and have fun. Good, clean, honest fun. And that's what you need to develop, is friends that will lead you or make it easier for you to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you leave here, I want you to remember this. Be careful of how you act, what you think, and what you say. Our thoughts may condemn us, and our thoughts may cause actions that will cause the Spirit to withdraw from us. But if our thoughts are pure, and this is one thing that Satan distastes, is he doesn't want our thoughts to be pure. He doesn't want us to think about the truth. Because when we do that, we learn how to overcome his pull and those chains that bind us down. There's a story I read recently, and I'm sure that some of you have read that too. It's a kind of a little fable about good and evil. And two men were talking together, and one says, good and evil are like two wolves living inside. You know, gnawing and scratching and clawing. And he described this, and the other guy says, which one wins? And the first guy says, the one I feed the most. So what you see in the universe sees you. Live the gospel. There's a song, hymn number 267, in our hymnals. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with pleasure's mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most. For the glitter of sin and the things it will win, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? While the door of His mercy is open to you, ere the depths of His love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted. I've counted the cost. My hope is that God will richly bless you and keep you safe in His kingdom. And this is my prayer. Thank you.